The order came to
break camp.
And the troops relocated about 2 miles down the road to another. The camp was moved for the benefit of their health more than anything else. This short march seemed to David about 10 miles long. He was very near the end of his strength when they went into the new camp. Here, David and Chunky put up a comfortable tent. They arranged it so they could roll up the sides during the day, which made it nice and cool. But they did not enjoy their tent very long. The men had a good deal of excitement, being called out almost every night. It was either a tramp to the picket line or forming a line of battle before daylight. Then the orders came.
Everyone carry for 4 days. Rations. 100 rounds of ammunition in a cartridge box. And your haversack.
David said to himself,
"We always have ammunition in abundance, even if the rations were a little short at times."
The orders made all the men a little uneasy. During the short time they spent in camp, they could hear the heavy cannonading every evening in the direction of Gettysburg. They all knew there was going to be trouble somewhere before long. Under these circumstances, many of the men might have been thinking about the next world, but David had not yet gotten through this one. Due to the short rations, right now his mind got to running on a plan of how to clean out the sutler's tent before leaving the camp. A sutler, or victualler, was a civilian merchant who sells provisions to an army in the field or in camp. Sutlers sold wares from the back of a wagon or a temporary tent, traveling with an army or to a remote military outpost. The men had a plan. It was after dark this mission took place. But to their surprise, the old fellow was on guard all night and kept his lamps burning. David thought that he had gotten wind of their intentions. This being the last night that they remained in camp, the sutler was not cleaned out of stock as he should have been. But David thought,
"I think I'm square with him, for I still owe him a bill of $5.
Still fighting hunger, the men returned to their camp, and David and Chunky settled in for the night. Everyone had a little trouble sleeping that night, thinking about what would come the next day. This night, David had second watch on picket duty. But before falling asleep, the haversack was opened and the scarf-wrapped bundle was taken out. David lit a small white candle he had gotten from the sutler's tent and started to write.
1st of July, 1863. It was the night before the battle, and I shake at the thought of picket duty. But all is fair in love or war. Little I dreamed of the terrible slaughter that would take place on the morrow, and little did we think of the many that would be called to death before we should see another night. I was ordered out with part of my company and some of Company F men on the picket line. Orders were to fire on anyone or force appearing in front and not demand the giving of the countersign. It was a murky, misty night, and not liking the looks of what I thought was suspicious in my front line, I told the boys I would scout out in front to see if there were any Johnnies there, and then that on my return, I would be whistling Yankee Doodle softly so they would know who it was. But when halfway back, the firing commenced on the left of the line, and hearing the rush coming through the cornfield and thinking it was cavalry, and knowing my men would also commence firing to prevent a breakthrough, I admit, candidly, that I forgot all about whistling Yankee Doodle and got back into line far quicker than when I went out. The laugh was on us when daylight came, as the numerous dead in our front was seen not to be rebels, but innocent sheep, which would not even bite a Union soldier.
Rations had been issued during the night at the regimental headquarters, and having hurried forward to join the regiment, those men who had been on picket went through that battle with what little they could beg from others. Let it be stated here that with but one single exception, there was no complaint made about it whatsoever, and that man was quickly silenced. Jackson Stein was the company cook, and he was promoted to brigand cook. He was dubbed Stonewall Jackson, because the men said,
"You can build a stone wall out of his sourdough biscuit."
He got the mules through the mud by using strong arguments and throwing his leftover biscuits at them. The medical donkey was wounded, and he destroyed it. The men had meat to eat, and no one mentioned where it came from. From then on, the medical supplies had to be carried by the men now to keep them from falling into the enemy's hands. During a rest stop, David continued writing. He was not sure what the date was.
Reveille was not heard early. After breakfast, which I think was between 6 and 7 o'clock, quite a little after, we heard officers call. The officers came back and ordered us to clean up our guns as we might expect a skirmish before night. We all laughed at the idea of finding rebels in Maryland and Pennsylvania. I think there was not one of us who would believe that there was a rebel on northern soil. At least I did not, nor did I care. We cleaned up our guns, that is, swapped them out, and saw that they were dry on the inside and in good trim for active service. We had rain the night before, and it was a cloudy, close morning. The next order we got was to pack up. Just after that, we all fell into line, when our captain came along the line and was shaking everyone by the hand and giving us goodbye. Poor fellow. I think he was better informed than we were, for the tears were rolling down over his cheeks.
The next thing the soldiers heard was cannoning, but it sounded to them as if it were 25 miles away. One among them shouted,
"Boys, there ain't no use in us marching so fast, for we will be dead long before we can get there."
But the cannoning was getting plainer, and David could hear the reports better. The trot was very near a double quick for 8 miles until they arrived just outside of Gettysburg. But something was missing. Bates and the 11th Corps were supposed to already be there, but they were tardy. Many of the soldiers had fought that day remarked later that if Bates had been in the ranks with them, the outcome would have been better.